Jesus' holy name. I'm delighted to have some. I only have a couple of friends in my world. You think that my brothers are friends? They really don't like me, but the feeling's really mutual. What you see is what you get with us. We really do love each other, and we do like to mess with each other and have a good time together. And it's not put on, it's not phony. But I do have a few friends in the world, not that many, but a few. And I've got a dear friend that drove, he lives in Elgin, Illinois, south Elgin area. He has some work over in Ann Arbor right now. Where's Brother Greg? There he is, Greg Harris. And he's a member of the Northwest Bible Baptist Church over in Elgin, Illinois. Pastor Keith Gomez is his pastor. And Brother Harris and I have been buddies for a little while, and we love each other, and very thankful that he made the trip over here tonight. And then I'm really, really blessed in my heart to have some folks that God just put them in our lives, quite not by accident. I don't believe in accidents with God's people. But Jerry and Debbie Hill are sitting right behind my brother Russell down there. And Jerry and Debbie live in Ionia, and we've known each other since 2001, and I love Jerry and Debbie Hill. He's my biker buddy. He hates it when I say that because it sounds kind of femmy, actually. But you look at us two and you call us femmy, and we'll meet you in the parking lot, show you what that's all about. Amen. And if you like that, I'll just beat the snot out of you, and that'll be the end of it. But in Christian love, of course, amen. But Jerry and Debbie have been our friends for a long time. Debbie's a dear friend of my wife, Star, and Brother Jerry. He served our state in the prison system, and then he got out. Amen. And he was a captain in the prisons over here, and everybody that has ever worked with him, that I've ever talked with, spoke very highly of him as a man and as a officer, and then of course as a boss in the prisons. And I love Jerry. He's my dear friend. He's been a blessing to me, and they've been a blessing to my family, and I love them very much, and thank the Lord that they're here tonight. In your Bibles, go in Genesis chapter number 35, please. Genesis and chapter number 35. And if you're able, please. If you're not able, by all means, you may remain seated. But if you're able, I would invite you to stand with me, and let's honor and revere the Holy Word of God. You say, why stand for the reading of the Scripture? Well, they did it in the book of Ezra, and it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us. Amen? And so if you're able, if you're not able, by all means, you remain seated, and you won't bother me at all. Genesis 35, verse number 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Anybody with a brain in their head knows to be nice to their elder brother. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's biblical. And then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel. That means God of the house of God. El, God, Beth, house, El, God of the house of God. Because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Elon Bahuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, but thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon. He poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Help now, please, Father. I want your power and blessing to preach to your precious people. I love your people. I love the sheep. And you love the sheep more than anybody does. And so, Father, I don't want to do any disservice or despite to your word, to your spirit, to you, or to your precious people. And so, Father, I ask you for your power to preach this message that I believe is needed in this time and these days. And I'll thank you for it. I love you so much. Bless and help my church service going on here in a little while, and other church services that where God's name is going to be glorified and Jesus will be lifted up. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We won't take the time to reread a lot of scripture here in the text that we read, but particularly verses 1 through 3. I just want to kind of talk to you tonight about Jacob a little bit. He's one of the strangest creatures in the characters, I guess you'd say, in the King James Bible. Somebody said that he was the best and the worst of men in the Old Testament. The best and the worst of men. When we see him cheating his big brother Esau out of his birthright, we see him as his worst. Amen. And when we hear him making his vows to God after the dream of the ladder and the heaven, the angels and all of that going up and down that ladder, we find Jacob at his best. When he puts on an animal skin and deceives his old blind father Isaac, you got to say that buzzard's at his worst. Amen right there. But when he wrestles with the angel and begs for a blessing and God gives it to him, we find him at his worst. At his best. After his sin against Esau, his elder brother, Jacob's mother advises him very wisely, I would also add, you better get out of here and you better leave because your elder brother is going to call you to task on what you've done. And of course he leaves and stays outside, and a stone becomes his pillar and God, a pillow, and God comes to him, and the next morning God comes to him, and God, before God, he makes a vow. And he says this. He said, "This is my God, and I will follow him all the days of my life. And of all that which he gives me, will I give a tenth unto him." Tithe. Can I get an amen right there? A tithe. Everybody ought to tithe. If you're not tithing, you're inviting the judgment of God on your life. That's a whole other sermon for another time that your good pastor can deal with that. But even when he got right with God, when he got close to God, he said, "I'm going to give back to God that which belongs to him." Say amen. Well, obviously, he went on his way, and as folks so easily do, when God brings a blessing into our lives, after prospering and becoming rich, he forgot God. He forgot all about the vows that he made. And he began to break those vows that he made at Bethel. And the years now have gone by. And by now, he's coming back home. And he has another meeting with the Almighty God of glory. And I'm making a synopsis and an encapsulation of what's going on here. He meets with God and he wrestles with the Lord Jesus all night long. And he prevails in that. Of course, God allows him to do that. And then he meets his brother Esau. And Esau very magnanimously, as big brothers so often have to do, very magnanimously, Esau forgives him for all of his insolence and his wretchedness, as so many times I've had to do, and for his deceit, Pastor Russ, and for his wretchedness and the godlessness of his life, and on. Would you please pay attention and quit whispering while I'm trying to preach? I'm hoping the first two at the altar tonight will be those clowns in the front row. But as it is, beloved, with a person that really, listen, that really wants the blessing of Almighty God, you really want the blessing of God, his heart just couldn't be at peace. Because the fact of the matter, his sin was not yet dealt with. The basic sin, the underlying wretchedness had not yet been evacuated and rooted out. And it's then that God calls to him in verse number 1 and says, "I want you to go up to Bethel, and it's there that I want you to dwell, and it's there that I want you to make an altar when you fled from your big brother Esau." And there, beloved, he would renew his vows. And it was there that he would repent and start his life over again. And yes, I submit to you tonight, beloved, that when God told Jacob to do this, he was glad to go. He was excited to go back to the place where God had been. He had sinned so deeply in his life, and he felt so intrinsically and extrinsically the need for the mercy of God to come down upon him. He was sick of his sin. He was sick of being away from home. He was sick of being away from the God of glory that loved him so magnificently. He wanted to go back home. He had been cheated, and oh, how deeply he had cheated others. Was not his name the supplanter? Was not his name the deceiver and cheater? Indeed it was. For Jacob, life held no peace for him. He had sinned so deeply and so greatly, and he needed God, and he felt the tug of the Spirit of God to go back to the beginning, back to being rededicated in his life. And you know, beloved, listen to me. You can't have a rededication until there's been a dedication in your life. You can't rededicate if you've never been born again. Say amen. There are too many of us tonight. I want to submit to you, on Elm Street or wherever you are in your life. I'm saying in this building and other buildings tonight that are holding God's people, houses of worship that become a church house when the church enters in, the church of Jesus Christ, who is none other than the blood-bought throng of God's people. Say amen. But I'm telling you tonight, there's too many of us that are far away from God. We've had a Bethel experience in our life. We've been born again. Say amen. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. Amen. He has touched us. He has indeed saved us. We've felt His glory. We've known the power of eternal life. It has been just infused into our bosom because of our repentant heart and our belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. But now the years have come and gone. They've taken away some of the spiritual freshness that we once had. Can I tell you tonight, beloved, it is wrong for you and I, as children of God, to placate ourselves by saying, you know, I've been saved a long time now, and some of the things that used to excite me about the things of God, they've kind of got out of the way a little bit. And you know, I'm an older Christian now, and I've been saved a long time, and so I don't need that freshness anymore. You do indeed need that from God. You need that spiritual freshness at Bethel in your life. We've become backslidden, frankly. You don't hear that word a lot in pulpits today. You do in this church and real Bible-believing churches. You hear that word, and you won't hear it from Blinky Boy, as so-and-so said over here, a guy down in Houston. You don't hear it from those people. You don't hear about backsliding from preachers that want to placate the masses and tiptoe around the tithers. Can I get an amen? You don't hear about that from guys who won't preach the Bible. But I'm telling you, God's people backslide. And if you're not better today than you were yesterday, you're backslidden. I'm saying to you tonight, we get that way and we neglect our spiritual duties. We neglect them. The times when we're not faithful to the house of God, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here on a Wednesday night. Some of you have been here every night, and I want to remind you, if you bring visitors, we're going to give you CDs and all that kind of stuff. But you've been faithful, and that's great, but there's times when you haven't been faithful. And sometimes you come just because you gotta. And I know that's times that we have to do that sometimes. We have to force ourselves to do what's right. But, oh, beloved, listen to me. I'm saying that Christians tonight have lost the joy of their salvation. They've not lost their salvation. You can't lose something that God gives you. Amen. But you lost the joy of it. And so we cry out to God. Like the old songwriter. He wrote, "Where is the blessedness I knew when I first met the Lord?" Think about it, would you please? Where is the blessedness that you knew when you first met Jesus Christ? Pay attention. Some of you talk and listen to me. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I've got something important to say to you, and you need to hear what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be unkind. This is your pastor's church, but I'm not going to have the Bible disrespected. I'm saying to you, where is the freshness that you once had in the things of God? Where is the freshness and the blessedness of when you first met the Lord God of glory? Hear me tonight. Hear me. No matter how far you've gone, God still loves you. No matter how bad you've gotten, He still calls to you. It doesn't matter how bad it seems, and it doesn't matter how evil maybe you've gotten. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven who waits on the front porch of His home, and He's just waiting for you to turn your heart back toward Him. He's waiting for you to get sick of the hog pen. He's waiting for you to recognize how many people are still back at the Father's house enjoying the blessings of God. He just wants you to come back home, and I'm telling you, He's waiting on the front porch, and as soon as He sees your footfalls bringing yourself back down that old dusty road, He will leap off the front porch. He'll run to meet you. He'll kiss your neck. He'll put a robe on your back, a ring on your finger, shoes on your feet. He'll sing, "Bring up the fatted calf." He'll say, "Oh, my son has come back home." When will you come back? When will you? I'm saying to you, the blessedness of God. Back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. I must go. Back where the rivers of sweet waters flow. Back to the true life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling and I must go. It's very simple tonight. Going back to Bethel means back to a remembrance of your first love. I remember early in my years of hearing preaching and understanding preaching, people would say soul winning was your first love. And the bus ministry is the first love. And I'm for all that stuff, man. I do that every week. Every day of my life, I do my best to do that. And I believe in the bus ministry. I believe in the local church and all that. But I want to remind you, beloved, your first love is Jesus. He's more important than your spouse. He's more important than your children. I'm swallowing hard now. He's more important than your grandchildren. I'm telling you what, grandchildren are the gift you give yourself for not killing your kids. Jacob, his first love was for God. And he'd forgotten Him. He'd forgotten the God of glory in the mad rush of life. And certainly tonight every believer should love Jesus best of all and first of all. But often we're indifferent to Him and His voice. And you know it's true. In the book of the Revelation, Brother John gave that marvelous revelation to... the Holy Ghost gave that marvelous revelation to John the Revelator. And Jesus was rebuking a local church just like Loomis Park Baptist Church. And just like New Hope Baptist Church and Central Valley Baptist Church and Bible Baptist Church and your church, wherever you might be going, some of you from other churches. But I'm saying to you, this rebuke came from the Son of God when He cried out to that church and said, I've got somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Not lost your first love. You've left it. You've walked away. Quit obeying Him. You've quit adoring Him. And I'm telling you tonight, we do that. Once in our life, we found our highest joy in Him. But oh, we drift away at times and other loves and other interests and have come into our life and God is left on the outside of our hearts. And oh, believer, hear me tonight. We must remember whose children we are and the price that was paid so we could be God's children. And we go away in our lives. And then the old sinful world becomes our friend. And you better pay attention to me, friend. Listen to me. You might be doing all right tonight, but it's not a long walk away from God. It's not at all. Right. It's not a long walk. You quit doing the right things and it won't be long before the world becomes your friend. Yeah. And then Jesus steps aside to us and so lovingly and tenderly puts His arm around us and says, surrender to me. Yes. Yeah. Surrender to me. Where is the freshness that you once knew? Come back to me. I'm so glad He doesn't beat us up. I'm so glad, beloved, that yes, He will discipline us. The Scripture very clearly decries to us that God will discipline His children. But I submit to you in a tender, loving voice, the Son of God says, come back to me. But Satan then whispers in our ears and says, no, no. You can go a little way, but give me part of your heart. But what we should be saying is, no, Jesus is my highest love. Jesus is my first place. He's my glorified Lord. What a pity tonight that it's not that way in the lives of believers. Many of us have forsaken the Lord Jesus today. We profess Christ as our Savior and we love Him. But sometimes we love Satan's things more than we love Him. I'm saying to you, we need to get back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. Yes, back to Bethel, the house of God. Back to Bethel like Jacob did. Jacob said when he started back to Bethel, in verse number 2, look at it. Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Verse 4, he said, and they gave unto Jacob all their strange gods which were in their hand and their earrings in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak. You see what happened? They gave up their strange gods. They buried those things. I'm telling you tonight, precious friends, there needs to be a burial at Loomis Park Baptist Church for our false gods. We need to tear them out of our lives. We need to rip them out of our souls. And we need to bury those things and get back to Bethel. Back to God. It means back to a right life and a right attitude. A right life and a right attitude where God is put above all things, above everything. Listen to me. Above family. And I'm not talking about the church above family or service above family. Everything in its right place. Amen? But God as number one love in your life. I'm telling you, beloved, you make no mistake about it. If you have a problem in your marriage relationship, it's because you've got a problem with your God love relationship. God doesn't have the problem, you do. If you're having a problem in your family with your children or your grandchildren or anything, if you're having a problem with that man of God, it's not Rich Zawadzki's fault. I'm telling you, it's your fault with God. He didn't pay me to say that. He wouldn't tell me to say anything. I'm saying to you, friend, if you've got a problem with people, you've got a problem with God. Fall in love with Him and guess what? You'll love everybody. No matter what they are, who they are. You might not like things that people do, but you'll love them for God's sake. Lord Melbourne, the great, I use the word great in quotations, an English parliamentarian, he went to church one day and and he rushed out after the message, and he said, and I quote, he said, "That preacher's a fool. He must think, and he seems to think, that this Bible Christianity thing has something to do with the practical personal life." Well, I got news for Lord Melbourne. It does. It absolutely does. Let God have you in every area of your life. Let Him have first place. Christian, back to Bethel. Back where, Christian? Back to what? Back where? It also means back to a real Christian life. Aren't you sick of phonies? Aren't you sick of hypocrisy? A little boy climbed up into his father's lap one day and he said to his dad, I read this and I thought, man, this is perfect for this message. He said to his dad, Daddy, is God dead? Dad said, well, son, why would you ask such a thing? The boy said, well, Daddy, I don't hear you talking to him anymore. And the dad dropped his head in shame. Do you recall how you used to pray? You know, too many Christians tonight are using God as a fire escape. And the only time you talk to Him is when you've got some big thing happening in your life. Let me tell you something. He's better than that. He's the God of glory. He's. Listen, if that's the only way you're using God, He's your puppet and He's not your God. You need to bury that attitude. You need to bury that and go back to Bethel. You used to come Sunday night every time the doors were open. Man, you were in church, boy. And I'm thanking God you're here tonight. I'm not discounting that you're here. Man, you're precious saints of God. I think the greatest people on earth are God's people. I mean that with all my heart. But beloved, when was the last time you went soul winning? When was the last time you went door knocking? When was the last time you just went to your good pastor and say, Pastor, whatever, wherever, whenever, whatever you need me to do, I'm your man, I'm your woman, I'm here. I'm talking about getting back to that freshness. Things that we used to do, man, we just don't do them anymore. Then, if that's the way it is, the used to wasers in the church, and I mean there's a bunch of them. They populate my church. They populate these two boys' church. They populate Baptist churches right and left. I'm talking about used to wasers. I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to do the other thing. Listen to me. If you're a used to wuser, then God might as well be dead to you. Back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. Back to praying. Back to seeking God. Back to Bethel. Christian, come on. Let's get back to Bethel. Let's get back to doing what's right. This is elementary, preacher, but back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. How many remember that song on the radio? Back to the Word of God. And I don't remember the rest of it, but it was a pretty cool song. You know, a person could go through high school, then go through 10 universities, and not know the Bible, and I submit to you they are completely uneducated. I'm not a smart man. My brothers are pretty much morons. We're not smart people, I promise you. I'm not a smart man. I have to read. I have to study. I've got to, you know, I'm just not smart. I try to take smart pills and they make me stupider. I mean, if there is such a word, I'm not a smart person. But you know what? It's not about intelligence. It's about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. So with all you're getting, make sure you get wisdom. Wisdom. And you know what? Wisdom doesn't come from a college. It doesn't come from education. In fact, education puffs up. It puffs people up. I don't even care if you have a theological education. Generally, that kind of garbage puffs people up and makes them peacocks. God's far from that stuff. Say amen. He's far from that. Daniel Webster said this. He said this, and I quote, "The Bible is the secret of the blessing which rests upon our country. If we neglect it, our doom will be sudden and complete." By the way, there's a prime example of us not being a godly nation. Hogwash. Our forefathers were godly men that knew truth about how to seek God. And they knew that a nation that was going to be founded in liberty had to be anchored in righteousness and right living. And that right living can only be delineated by God's holy book. That is where our laws come from. That's where our ideals come from. That's where true Americanism is rooted and founded. I'm telling you, friend, we've got to get back to this. We must do it. I don't think it's too late. I wonder sometimes if it is. But I'm telling you, beloved, we've graduated from the Bible into other kinds of materials, and God's Word is neglected, and our souls are drying up, and our nation has turned from God. Back to Bethel! Back to the Word of God. Our Bible is our compass on a trackless sea. How can we afford to neglect it? We can't. And yet many Christians let day by day by day go and dust collects on their Bibles. Man, what would we do without that book? How do you live without your Bible? How do you? It's brought so many blessings to this world. This grand old book has brought so many blessings. Science and philosophy and worldly wisdom can never answer the soul's greatest needs. They just can't do it. I'm telling you what, I've buried people. Your preacher buried a precious woman this week. We're going to bury our relative on Saturday, a precious man named Jimmy. I'm telling you, friend, when you stand beside a grave and with your loved ones are standing there and you look at a woman whose baby child has died or a little boy whose mom has died and the life ends of a beloved one of ours, we want to know. We've got to know. It'll drive us crazy if we don't know. Can we see Him again? Is there an afterlife? Will we ever see Him again? Well, let science answer for us. The only time the Bible uses science is called science falsely so called. Let's let science answer because we put away our Bible. And better yet, let's let philosophy answer us and worldly wisdom soothe us because we've got dust on the Bible. And so sad and baffled and nowhere to turn, we turn back to the Bible. Back to where? Bethel, back to the Bible, and we find the Son of Man stand up one day and say to a family that had just lost their brother, we find Him standing outside of a graveyard and say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on Me shall never perish. I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible has the only answer to that. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Say amen. I tell you, I think of what Brother Paul wrote to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that God, Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. I'm telling you, beloved, I'm thankful to God today that we can say this unto you by the word of the Lord. I'm thanking God today that we get comfort from the Word of God. I'm telling you, Jesus one day looked at His disciples that He just told in John chapter 13 that He was going to die. They're going to take Him by cruel hands and nail Him to a tree. He looked at their disconcerted faces and their sad and drawn countenances, and He said to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm telling you, philosophy doesn't do that for you. Science can't do that for you. Nor can it tell you that, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Only the Bible has words like that. The Bible's the only book that says these things. It's the only place that has the answers for life's deepest questions. Back where? Back where? It means back to active service to the Lord. I'm almost done. Pastor Russ is coming in a minute. Listen to me. Jacob went back to Bethel. And you know what he did from that day forth? He served God. That's what happens when you go back to Bethel. And God does something very momentous. It's something that you see now and again through the Scripture. From Saul to Paul. Amen. God changed his name. From Jacob, the supplanter and overthrower, to Israel, which means having power with God. Big difference, amen? You can see, obviously, from this marvelous thing, you know, what God does and how that He changes messed up things into something good. Driving up here, I drove through farming country. Of course, that's all there is in Illinois, unless you're in Chicago, and there's nothing really good at all there. Amen? You're welcome, Brother Harris. But anyway, you drive through the farmlands and you see farm equipment. And Eric's a wannabe farmer. He wishes he was one. But anyway, it'd be. But you see old farm equipment there. And you know, one time it was useful. Painted nicely. Everything worked on it. But now you look at it out there behind the barn and it's rusted and worthless. And really, frankly, it's just in the way. It was useful at one time. And like many Christians, it was useful at one time, but it's not anymore. Once very active Christian, one time you might have led in spiritual movements in the Loomis Park Baptist Church. Maybe you taught classes and backed up everything the preacher did and said, and man, you were ready to go. You had guns loaded. You had your gospel gun ready to go. And man, you did everything you could to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, nothing going on in your life for God. And I'm not mad at you. I've been there myself. Take no active part for God. You've literally become a has-been or a used-to-was. Oh, for Christians. Oh, for children of God that are servants of God for all of their life. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, for Christians that gave the best for God for all of their life back to Bethel. Do you remember when the first work you did for Him? And the joy and the rapture and the thrill of serving God? Can I remind you tonight, friend, for you and I that are children of God, there is no other way to live for Jesus but the Bible way. There's no life for you in backsliddenness. There's no life for you in living a Christian life of being a used to wuzzer. That's not for us, Christian. That's not for you. You know, your preacher, he gets up here, and I know if he's any man like I believe he is, he's constantly begging for God's people. Come on, let's go. Let's get involved. Come on. Come on, let's get involved. Come on, come on. Let's get involved. When it really ought to be almost like God's people saying, yeah, come on, preacher, let's go. Woohoo! But it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
I find myself constantly begging people to serve the Lord, Pastor Rich. And it breaks my heart, honestly. I know. Man, we've got some people in our church, boy, and they're sweeping floors and cleaning toilets, and sometimes you have to sweep toilets. But I mean, you know, they're bus workers, and it seems like the busiest people, they're just doing everything. And then you got people that plop into church, and again, I'm not being unkind. They take up 18, 24, 36, or 48 inches of pew, and that's all they do. Back to Bethel. And you know how that happens? You get back up close to God.
Yes, sir.
I can't tell you how simple this is. It's not a far life. It's not a far trip back. I'm saying to you, let's get back to God. Let's call out to God. Oh, God, help me.
Yes.
Oh, God, give me the freshness that I once knew. Listen, Christian, we don't belong in the mire of this earth.
No.
This is not our home. This is just a traveling through place. Let's get back to Bethel. What does Bethel mean? What is it? The house of God. Let's get back to Him. It's back to where God is. Back, our home is with Jesus, and our first love is with Jesus. And beloved, let's just lead our lives back to Him, back to active service, back to the Bible, back to real Christian living, and back to the remembrance of our first love. Are you far from Jesus today? It's not a long way back. It's just not. Come to yourself. Come to your senses.
Yeah.
Come to your senses. That's what happened to that boy in that hog lot back there. He just came to his senses. It's a simple thing. Would you take the advice of your brother? I'm just your brother. I'm a preacher, but I'm your brother and your friend. Take the advice from a former backslider, and probably will be again. God, I don't want to be, but man, let's get back to Bethel. Back to closeness with Him. Thank you, Father.